Awesome.
Awesome.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. I tell you, I could listen to testimonies of what God is doing in our sons and daughters' lives 8 days a week. Right? I mean, that is so cool. And I know for the three that shared, there's probably more that could have shared. And I believe even the prayer that Pastor Ryan prayed is, even if you didn't go to camp this year, even if you weren't able to go, I believe that this is going to be a year that God wants to grow each of our young people and speak things to you. It's not just a camp thing, right? Because the relationship that we have with Jesus is so much more than 4 days at a cool resort in Idaho. It is truly a lifestyle. And so I just believe that even this year, we're going to continue to hear testimonies of what God is doing in our sons and daughters from here on out. So cool. Well, I get to, I'm just going to get right to it this morning and share. Before I do, sorry, I'm kind of random. If there was a squirrel that ran through here, I would get distracted. But it is so good to see Ruth and Ron Pomerantz in the back here. Family for a long time. They live in Oklahoma. It's good to see you guys. What a treat. Awesome. Well, I am going to continue. Last week we talked about avoiding the summer burn, avoiding burnout, avoiding getting tired, and truly living a balanced life that stays refreshed and stays in a place where God can use you long term. I'm going to continue this morning, and I'm going to talk about refreshed, being refreshed this morning, because summer is a season that we are supposed to be refreshed. And I was thinking this morning in worship, you know, life is supposed to be refreshing. Okay, life isn't supposed to be just a series of beatdowns. And I just have to live, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, going from glory to glory. And I think sometimes when we look at the circumstance of our life, we think it's just, we're just supposed to live from hard thing to hard thing, or from beat down to beat down, from discouragement to discouragement. And I just want to speak this morning that the Christian life is supposed to be refreshing. Okay, I want to speak this morning that Christian community, life in a church family, is supposed to be uplifting and refreshing. Sunday morning church is supposed to be the greatest day of the week because you get to gather with, you know, your church family, and you get to lift up the name that is above every name, and that's the name of Jesus. And I want to just say even this morning that the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy in His presence. And so that's what I love, our corporate worship, and thank you, Steve and worship team, for leading us, because God's presence is where I'm changed. I am such a believer in youth summer camp because I was changed at youth summer camp. And so I believe that when we create places for our sons and daughters to experience God's presence, that's where we're going to see lasting change in their life. Because they could sit at youth group and they could hear teachings and sermons, and those are all great things, and Pastor Ryan's an incredible preacher. But if the presence, he is, but if the presence of God isn't there, there's no hope for lasting change. And so I just am excited to see and even create places on our Sunday mornings where we are refreshed in His presence. And so I'm going to have you turn this morning to 2 Kings. We're going to read a story this morning out of chapter 7 of 2 Kings. It's after 1 Kings. And I'm just going to, it's a story, and I just want to give you a little perspective for where, kind of some background of the what's going on in this story. We've got a picture of four lepers, okay, and we've got to understand that leprosy was like the ultimate death sentence in those days. That if you had leprosy, you were not only sick, but you were sick, you were isolated, and you were completely outcast from any community. Okay, so we've got four lepers that are sitting outside the gates of the city, and they are of Samaria, and they are in a place, and the city is in a place where they are experiencing famine. They are experiencing mass destruction. They are experiencing, they're under siege. They're oppressed. It was so severe, in fact, that it says that the women in the city were eating their own children because they were so desperate for food. And every halfway decent mother in here said, man, that's bad. That's real bad. And so in the midst of this, we have the word of the Lord. And Elisha, the prophet of God, is coming, and he, in the midst of some really unhealthy things going on and some really depressing times, prophesies, and he says something that is not just a little far-fetched. He says something that is so opposite what they're experiencing right now that pretty much it would have to be a miracle of God in order for the things that he said to come to pass. And he pretty much says the next day, within 24 hours, everything is going to be different. Okay, and again, when you're talking to people in such desperate times, that's going to bring something to their spirit, and it's going to bring hope into their life. And so let's continue here in chapter 7, 1 and 2. It says, but Elisha said, hear what the word of the Lord says. Tomorrow, about this time, a seah, and we got to understand, I probably just pronounced it wrong, but we also need to understand that's a measurement. Okay, so it's talking about a specific measurement, like you and I would say an ounce or a pound or whatever. So about this time, a measurement of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Verse 2, then the captain of whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Question. But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. Okay, so pretty much Elisha comes and he says, hey, at this time tomorrow, food is going to be so cheap, and you're going to be able to get so much food for your dollar because there's going to be an abundance of food. So he pretty much is saying, hey, the sales are going to be on tomorrow. Meaning you don't have food now, and tomorrow there's going to be so much food that we're going to barely even be able to give it away because there's going to be more than enough. Okay, so he says this to a diseased, desperate, oppressed, hungry people. And then the captain pretty much says, you know, and the wording's a little different, but he pretty much says, hey, there's no way this can happen, Elisha. We're in the middle of a drought, of a famine. There is no way what you're saying can happen. Pretty much he's saying, I do not agree with what you're hearing from your God. And Elisha says, hey, man, I know what I heard. You're going to see it, but you're not going to eat of it. Right, because of his doubt, because of his unbelief, because of different circumstances, this guard, Elisha says, you're going to see it, but it's going to be like you're from the outside looking in. Okay, the first takeaway I want to say this morning is we need to understand as the people of God that God is first and foremost a good father. And he is not just a good father, but he is a father that wants to bestow blessing upon his children. Okay, everything that you and I believe about the kingdom of God has to begin with knowing that our God is good. And not just knowing that he does good things, but knowing at the very nature of who he is, that he is a good father. And that means not a father like you and I, that you had, or if you had a negative experience with your father, don't draw to that, right? But God is a perfect father. And the Bible says that if your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more than your heavenly Father can give you. So we need to understand that everything in our life begins with God is a good Father. But it has to take one step further. We have to know because he is a good Father, he wants to give us a blessed life. And he wants to give us favor and promises and things that we wouldn't experience on our own only because we have a relationship with a good father. There's benefits that come for being the children of God. And we all say amen to those things. Unfortunately, I think we all have negative mindsets about fathers. I think in our minds, we think, well, man, God's just going to withhold good things from me. because you have some unhealthy mindsets in your mind that says, well, God's just a big God that's going to spank me when I'm wrong, or he's going to punish me. And we need to ask the Lord to really cleanse us from any unhealthy patterns or any unhealthy thought process, because when you have a certain expectation of who God is and it doesn't line up with his character, you're going to miss some of those blessings that he wants to flow into your life. You know, one of my least favorite sayings is, and you've all heard it, but people say when you go through hard things, they say, oh, maybe it's just a blessing in disguise. Can I tell you that the people in our story, they didn't need a blessing in disguise at this moment. Right? They needed a blessing from heaven above that was going to give them food to sustain their bodies. They didn't need people to say, hey, I know you're hungry and you're eating your kids, but maybe this is a blessing in disguise. You know what I would say to that? I'd say, you know, get thee behind me, right, Satan? Right? But they didn't need a blessing in disguise, right? They needed food and they needed it like a week ago. But I think when we go through seasons of desperation where things are not clear, our circumstances always take the front seat over who we know who our God is. We allow our circumstances to override the character and the nature of our God. Meaning, we know things about God's character, right? And then when our lives don't go as planned as we think they should go, we think there's a problem with God. Oh, God must be having a bad day. But this morning, I just want to encourage you that you need to get a revelation of who truly your God is. Because God doesn't have off days. God doesn't get moody like you and I get moody and decide he's just going to treat his kids bad because he didn't get his cups of coffee in the morning or whatever. Not that I do that, right? I might. But regardless of the circumstances in your life, you need to settle that God is sovereign, God is good, and God desires to pour his blessings upon his people. And he's always faithful to fulfill those blessings. He's always faithful. So the word of the Lord comes to Elisha. And this word is coming through Elisha, but it's not for Elisha. Again, if Elisha is in the city, that tells me he's probably hungry too. So when God tells him, hey, things are going to be different tomorrow, personally, he's probably thinking, thank God. Like, I'm going to fill my belly. I'm going to get nourished. But this word isn't just for him, right? He could have said, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to receive that word, and I'm not going to tell anybody because I'm going to get my hunger on, right? I'm going to fill my belly, get in my belly. The second thing we need to understand is God, Elisha was in a place where God wanted him to speak hope to a hopeless people. And I believe that we're entering a season as Christians where the Lord is saying, I want my Christians to understand that I'm putting them in a place in the middle of spiritual famine, in the middle of people desperate. I want to put them in those situations, and they need to speak words of hope and words that will sustain my people and even people who aren't my people, who I want to be my people. So we've got to understand that he had a burden from the Lord to speak these things. And the Lord wants to do that in us today. You know, Elijah, again, could have kept this word to himself. Right? Think about how risky and what a step of faith Elijah had to take in that moment. It's one thing to prophesy abundance when people's bellies are full. Right? I'm not hungry. Well, God wants to fill you. Okay, I can receive that. But think about it, speaking to people who haven't had food or water. Think about, well, what if Elisha was wrong, right? They'd be eating him, right? Because people were desperate for food at that time. So he took a step of faith in his life to say, hey, this is what God's saying, and I hope I'm not wrong. Because if I'm wrong, there's going to be problems. But he had so much faith in his God, and he had so much courage
in the God that had called him, that wouldn't leave him, that he spoke out the things that God gave him. And he didn't just be general, hey, I think we're going to have food. He was pretty specific. He said, by this time tomorrow. Okay, again, I think sometimes when the Lord speaks to us, it's very easy for us to just be like general. Hey, God wants to bless you. But if we start getting specific, that's when the stakes kind of get higher, right? Well, what if I'm wrong? What if I heard something different? Okay, and again, the prophet knows that he's accountable for the things that he speaks. But he has a high confidence in the God that he serves. Okay, the second thing I want to talk about this morning is when you doubt the potential of God's blessing, when you don't even give it a chance to occur, you limit yourself from receiving his whole promise in your life. Okay, think about the guard, the captain to the king. He doubted what the prophet said, and he was immediately not going to walk in the fullness of that. He'll see it, but he wasn't going to be a part of it. Human understanding always limits the potential of God. Human understanding always limits the potential of God. God's promised blessings depend on him, not on us. Okay, the promises that God wants to see fulfilled in my life and in your life, they don't depend on you. They depend on him. They depend on his faithfulness. They depend on his character and his nature. Okay, let's keep reading. I love telling stories. Verse 3. Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let's go into the city, the famine is in the city, and we're going to die there. If we sit here, we're going to die. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we'll live. And if they kill us, we're going to die. Okay, not too promising, is it? Well, you want to die, or do you want to probably die? Yeah, how's your week going, right? So in their minds, they're weighing out their options. If we sit here, we're dead. If we go in there, we're either dead or we're probably going to get eaten, right? Or we can go over to the enemy, the ones who are oppressing us, and they might kill us. But what if they take us as prisoners? Then they might feed us. Interesting. The third thing I want to talk about this morning is receiving our breakthrough or something that you don't already possess in the kingdom always requires you do something different in your faith. Okay, if you want something different, you have to do something that you're already not yet doing that is going to put you in a position to receive that breakthrough. And here's what I love about our God. He always responds to acts done in faith. Faith is the currency that moves the heart of God. Okay, at some point in our relationship with the Lord, we have to look at our situation, we have to look at our lack, we have to look at our hunger, we have to look at our desperate state and say, we have to do something. We have to take a step out in faith that is going to put us in a place to receive God's blessing. Because again, what's the other option? Death, remember, will die. If they went into the camp of the enemy, they may die, but they also may be sustained. So, I find it really interesting. There's something we like about just the things we can control and the known. You know, like, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but even if my today is kind of bad, at least I'm kind of comfortable in my today. There's something about the unknown that paralyzes us, and I believe that as a church and as the people of God, God wants to take us to a season where we might have to walk in some unknown things, because then we will experience his blessings as we do so. So they are going to make a decision. So let's keep reading. In verse 5, it says, "So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the enemy. But when they came to the edge of the camp, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us kings of the Hittites and kings of Egypt to come against us.' So they fled in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives." Okay, so these four lepers go to this camp expecting to either be killed or maybe be taken prisoner. That'd be a good option. And they find it empty because there was confusion, there was fear in the camp of the enemy, and they came to their enemies, and their camp was completely deserted. When we act on the faith inside of us, it opens the door for God to do the impossible. When you take a step of faith, it opens the door for God to do the impossible. Because again, it's in his nature to bless. It's in his nature to do good for his people. It's in his nature and desire to, even in our negative circumstances, he's still going to provide for us. He's still going to be faithful because it's who he is. Now, it doesn't say, to make my story better, that they heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Go to the enemy's camp." It doesn't say that. But here's what I do know. Is you want to quiet the accuser in your life. You want to quiet your enemies. You want to take away any ammunition that the devil wants to have in your life. Then walk in obedience. Walking in obedience leaves no room for the enemy to taunt you any longer. It takes every ounce of ammo that he thought he had in his life, and it neutralizes it. You know, I wonder sometimes when I don't see the blessing in my life, I think about the last thing the Lord asked me to do, and I say, "God, have I walked faithfully in what you've called me to do?" Because sin not only separates us from God, but it keeps us ineffective. Let's continue. Verse 8. "And the lepers came to the edge of the camp. They went into the tent. They ate and they drank, just like you and I would. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid it. They came back, entered another tent, and carried off things from it. And they went and hid those things too." So these guys come. They realize there's a whole lot of stuff and there's no one to stop us. We're going to eat and eat some more. And then we're going to take the gold, take the silver, and we're going to hide it. Again, they're hungry, right? Give them a break, right? Imagine what you would do, right? Imagine what I would do. I'd be stuffing my cargo pants full of beef and all sorts of good stuff. Right? They're starved. All of a sudden, this is theirs. They said to one another in verse 9, "We're not doing right. This day is a day of good news. If we're silent and wait until morning, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, let us go and tell the king's household." Okay, the fourth takeaway today is God's blessings in your life weren't meant just for you to be blessed and have more than enough. Okay, God's blessing isn't in your life isn't so you can just have an abundance to have an abundance. Okay, I believe that's why a lot of us stop growing. It's because we receive God's blessing. We receive God's favor. We receive revelation from heaven. And we just say, "That is awesome. That is good." But we don't give any of it away. We don't release the truth. We don't release the revelation. We don't release the encouragement. Because again, the blessing of God is meant to come into your life, but it's meant to come into your life so that you can refresh and release that blessing to others that need to be refreshed as well. Okay, something came upon them. And I don't know what it was, right? Obviously, there was some fear in there. But pretty much, they were eating and getting their eat on. And something happened. Then they said, "Wait a minute. There's other people that are hungry. Wait a minute. We're not the only ones that were on the brink of death. Wait a minute." AKA, people are still suffering, but we can do something about it. Okay, we need to have that revelation in the church that says, hey, we've received this hope, but there's still hunger going on. And we as the people of God can help satisfy that hunger because we can release that blessing to others. Okay, and again, this is where if you read in Zechariah, a great scripture in chapter 8, it says that I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. Okay, that's the point of this message. Is that if we want to be refreshed, if we want to live a life that is free from burn, then we need to really get good at refreshing others. We need to really get good about releasing that goodness of God into those who need a touch of that goodness. I was reading this week, and I thought it was interesting. It was an African wives' tale. It said this: there is only one crime worse than murder, and that is to know where the water is and to not tell. We know where the water is. We know where we get our strength. We know where we get refreshed. And the Lord wants to put us in places where we have that epiphany that says, hey, I can't just keep stuffing my own face like they did. There's need here. We're just rocking to it this morning. All right, let's keep going in our story. So they have this epiphany, this God moment, verse 12. I'm skipping a little bit. Let's go to verse 12. And the king rose in the night after they got there and said to his servants, I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we're hungry. Therefore, they've gone out of the camp. They've hidden themselves in the open country, thinking when they come out of the city, we'll take them alive and get in to the city. Again, when we operate out of our own understanding, it always keeps us bound to our own understanding. It always keeps us limited to our own strength and our own ability. Okay, verse 16, jump ahead a little bit. Then the people, so this is after, they said, no, trust us, send spies out. Okay, then the people went out and they plundered the camp of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Okay, so pretty much the next day, the prophecy that Elisha had come to pass. Food was on clearance, okay, and there was more than enough. Verse 17, now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned. Remember the captain at the beginning that said there's no way that's going to happen. He appointed the captain on whose hand he had leaned to have charge over the gate. So this man is now controlling the gate. And again, food, when people are hungry, hungry people do crazy things, worse than Black Friday at Walmart. Verse 17, and the people trampled him in the gate so that he died, as the man of God had said when the king came down to him. So he saw it, but his doubt, but his unbelief did not allow him to partake. Listen, us continuing to walk in God's blessing as families, as a church, is hinged on us releasing the things that he's done in us so that others may be satisfied. It's not just, oh, that's a good thing. No, it's hinged. I don't want it to be said of me that, oh, he had a lot of wisdom or he was a good guy, but he didn't release the things that were in his heart. And as a church, I believe that God wants to put us in places where we receive what God's done, but we're blessed to be a blessing. This summer, I want to encourage you, you want to be refreshed. Then find ways to refresh others. Then find ways to take what God's done and doing in your life and have that God moment that says, there's still people in need. There's still people that need this substance. Proverbs 11:25 says, whoever brings a blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. I need to be watered, right? You need to be watered, right? So we water, so we pour out, So we take what God's doing in our lives. Well, how do we pour out, right? Number of things: encouragement, truth, service, lending a helping hand with the word of the Lord. What is God saying to you that is giving you a word for your neighbor, for your spouse, for someone in your life? Right? Seeking the Lord for the good of others. What about with financial blessing? Man, God has blessed you, so what? You can be a blessing to others. You know, I noticed something. I'm going to close, like, right now. But you ever notice those people that are really good at encouraging others and really good at blessing others? You ever wonder and notice things about them that I wonder and notice? They always have a lot of friends. Right? I think of a guy like Pastor Tom, who is so encouraging. People just want to be around him. Why? Because he's encouraging. Because he's a life giver. Right? You want God to bring people into your life, friendship, community. Well, I want to encourage you to get good at encouraging. I want to encourage you to get good at speaking truth and the wisdom of God to others. Because again, just as in Zechariah it says, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So when people see that God is with you, you are an encourager, you are a gift, they will say, I want to be around you. They will say, I want what you have. I want to be a people, I want to be a family that is known for being good about lifting others up. That we don't just say, well, God is blessing me. Or even in our tiredness, even in our famine, even in our desperation, that we wouldn't just focus on our own circumstances and say, well, we're desperate. But that even in our lack, even in my lack, even in your family's lack, that you would find ways to refresh others. Because you do that, and I guarantee you, you will be refreshed. And I guarantee you, you won't be burned out. So would you stand with me this morning? I just want to pray over us as we go. And I really felt like this story, it just stuck out to me a week and a half ago as I was reading it. And just really felt like the Lord wants to change some minds. Because I think when you are in a season of lack, it's hard to see past your lack. Right? It's hard to look at the good. And I just want to encourage us that the Lord wants to show us some of those things today. So God, all over this place, Father, we come to you. Father, I thank you that you've provided blueprints. You've provided strategies. You've provided things in us. Father, as we want to be refreshed, you've said we'll refresh others. Father, forgive us for even in our own lack, in our own famine, Father, where we've just focused on our lack and said, well, God, we can't do this or we can't pour out until we have something to give. Father, forgive us for wrong mindsets this morning. Father, even this morning as we are in a season of summer and a season of refreshing, Father, I pray that you would give us strategy with how to be a refreshing to others. Father, that we would have a burden of the Lord, just like those lepers had, that said, wait a minute. There's others that need this food. Father, would we all have this epiphany that says, this isn't just for us. This isn't just so we can gain wisdom and get spiritually fat. But Father, I pray for the burden of the Lord that would say, how can this truth and this revelation go through us to be a blessing and to minister to those who need hope? Father, I pray, Father, that you would raise each and every one of us up to be ones who get good at encouraging others, who get good at releasing the hope that we have to a dry and parched land. Father, I bless your people. Father, we thank you for the things you're doing. Father, even this week as our generational leadership students are here for another week, Father, I pray that in their lives, as they're preparing to transition back to normal life and out of GL, Father. We bless them today, Father, and I pray that you would give them ways that as they have been filled up, if they've received from you, Father, they would have ways to release it to others. Father, we want to be known for being generous with the things of God. In Jesus' name, I pray all these things today. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you. You're released. We'll see you next time. Be here next week, GL graduation.